Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Thank you, Brian Main, for that introduction. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Yesterday, we began looking at an article that was in the December 2013 Ensign magazine, an article written by Brian D. Garner, who is of the Church Correlation Department, titled The Good News of Repentance. And yesterday, we gave an evangelical definition of the word repentance, and we feel it's important that you understand, first of all, where we are coming as Bible-believing Christians. Because, as we mentioned yesterday, the definition of this word means everything if you're going to have a meaningful conversation with your Latter-day Saint friend or acquaintance. Basically, it comes from a Greek word which means to turn away, to have a change of heart. Nobody disputes that. Unfortunately, as we saw yesterday, Mormon leaders have taken this and they've broadened that definition to really make it sound as if the only way you can be truly repentant is if you stop sinning completely. Now, a Mormon hearing this is probably rolling their eyes, thinking, oh, that's not true. But yet, we're going to demonstrate that, yes, that is absolutely true, that if words have any meaning at all, that's certainly what they are saying. For instance, I quoted yesterday 4th President Wilford Woodruff, and what is repentance? The forsaking of sin. Now, let me ask you, do you really think he means forsaking only some sins? Maybe one, maybe two, maybe 10, maybe 20. Do you really think that's what Wilford Woodruff had in mind when he said the forsaking of sin? He said the man who repents, if he be a swearer, swears no more, or a thief, steal no more. He turns away from all former sins and commits them no more. Commits them no more. Basically, what we're hearing here is if he does commit that sin again, he was never really truly repentant in the first place. And that's what he's implying here. And this is what other leaders have certainly implied. Now, yesterday, we ended the broadcast with a statement by 6th President Joseph F. Smith. Joseph F. Smith, this is taken out of Gospel Doctrine, the 1986 edition, pages 100 to 101, but it's also in a correlated manual titled Doctrines of the Gospel Student Manual, Religion 231 and 232, page 40. Let me read this. True repentance is not only sorrow for sins and humble penitence and contrition before God, but it involves the necessity of turning away from them and discontinuance of all evil practices and deeds. A thorough reformation of life, a vital change from evil to good, from vice to virtue, from darkness to light. Not only so, but to make restitution so far as it is possible. For all the wrongs we have done, to pay our debts and restore to God and man their rights. That which is due to them from us. This is true repentance. And the exercise of the will and all the powers of body and mind is demanded to complete this glorious work of repentance. Then God will accept it. Now remember yesterday, Eric, I made the comment that I wonder when people write articles like this, as in the case of Mr. Brian D. Garner, I wonder, well, does he really do these things that he's telling other people they must do? Did Spencer Kimball really do everything that he said in his book, The Miracle of Forgiveness? All those sins that he talked about, did he refrain from committing any of them? Did he really get the desire or urge to sin cleared out of his life, as he says in his book, The Miracle of Forgiveness, members of the Mormon Church must do? Well, let's ask this question of Joseph F. Smith. Joseph F. Smith, as I just read, was talking about true repentance, is talking about getting rid of all these things in your life. Do you really think Joseph F. Smith did that?
Well, I'm telling you, no, he did not, according to his own admission. And this is from a church manual, a correlated manual, Teachings of Presence of the Church, Joseph F. Smith, pages 61 and 62. This is what they have him quoted as saying. Who can say in his heart in the presence of God and man, I have truly repented of all my sins? I have many weaknesses and imperfections, Smith says. I have as many weaknesses as many of you, and I do not know, but what I have more of a great many of you, I have not been able yet to live up to and honor the second principle of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I would like to see the man who has. I would like to see the human preacher who has done it. But I am trying. I want you to understand, my brethren and sisters, I am still trying.
Now that's the same Joseph F. Smith that I just cited. The same Joseph Smith admitted in another correlated manual that he did not meet the very requirements that he was talking about in this Doctrines of the Gospel student manual and in his own book, Gospel Doctrine. What do you do with that? Now, especially when you look at a statement by 10th President Joseph Fielding Smith, who said, there can be no salvation without repentance. A man cannot enter into the kingdom of God in his sins. But didn't it seem to you, Eric, when you read that statement from Joseph F. Smith, that Joseph F. Smith was admitting he still struggles with his sins?
Yep, it sure did.
If he's still struggling with his sins, we have to assume that he still sins. That's what that means.
Yeah.
But yet, Joseph Fielding Smith said, a man cannot enter into the kingdom of God in his sins. Do you see the dilemma here, folks? Do you see the problem? Now, don't get us wrong. We are not at all trying to downplay the personal effort on the part of the Latter-day Saint to try and live a good life. We are not trying to disparage the many Latter-day Saints, and we've said this many times, that they are trying very hard to be the best people they can possibly be. No one argues about that. That's why when I get Mormons writing me saying, why do you try to make Mormons sound like they're so evil? I have to wonder, wait a minute, are you even listening to what we're saying here? We're not saying that at all. Mormons are very good people. They try very hard to be very good people. But if this is the requirement for salvation, if this is the requirement to gain exaltation, then no Mormon is doing that. And we're not faulting the Mormon for not doing that. We're not doing that.
Right.
We're admitting we're not doing that. Nobody is doing that. That's why when we see articles such as this in the December 2013 issue of the Ensign, titled The Good News of Repentance, and then we read what the definitions are of the words they're using in the article, we have to ask the question, how in the world is that really good news?
Well, because it's a vicious circle. And because by the very admission that you're repenting, it means that you haven't done what you were supposed to do. Spencer Kimball said in Teachings of Presence of the Church, Spencer W. Kimball, page 37, that repentance is for every soul who has not yet reached perfection. On the streets, we hear this all the time, because when we bring this up, that they're not doing what they're supposed to do, I've got repentance. But we're going to show you that this is not good news.
Well, let's look at that next paragraph in this article. We're just now getting in the second paragraph here. This is on page 40, if you want to read along with us, the December 2013 Ensign Magazine.
This is what Gardner writes. Some, however, see repentance as a punishment they must endure for their sins. This view is the exact opposite of the truth. Repentance is among our greatest blessings.
Now, I have to admit, I'm a little confused what he means by that. If he's implying that repentance itself is punishment, okay, I think I understand what he's saying. I don't know if it had to be said quite like that. But if he's trying to imply that there is no punishment associated with repentance, I would have to disagree with him, only in the context of Mormonism, that to be sure. For instance, Spencer Kimball, and as we mentioned, we're going to be citing him a lot because he really wrote the definitive book on that subject. The Miracle of Forgiveness, the book that he wrote, is one of the only books written by a general authority that has been suggested reading in conference messages. More than once, members of the LDS Church have been counseled that if they want to understand what true repentance is, how it's acted out in order to receive forgiveness, they are told to read The Miracle of Forgiveness. Well, Spencer Kimball gave a talk in conference. This was in April of 1975. You can find it in the May 1975 issue of Ensign. It was titled, To Bear the Priesthood Worthily. This is what he said in light of this statement about seeing repentance as a punishment. He said, we are concerned, and I should prepare the talk for you. He's talking about those who are counseling transgressors in the Mormon Church, those that are being called to give an account by their ecclesiastical leaders. So there's the context of what he's about to say. This is what Kimball says. We are concerned that too many times the interviewing leader, in his personal sympathies for the transgressor, and in his love perhaps for the family of the transgressor, is inclined to waive the discipline which the transgressor demands. Too often a transgressor is forgiven and all penalties waived when that person should have been disfellowshipped or excommunicated. Too often a sinner is disfellowshipped when he or she should have been excommunicated. And we probably should explain that in Mormonism, you can be disfellowshipped, and it comes with certain consequences. Like, you can still pay your tithes, but you're not allowed to teach in the church or have any type of teaching capacity. Whereas, if you're excommunicated, you're out of there, and you've lost all priesthood blessings. So he goes on to say, remember that President Taylor, this is speaking of John Taylor, the third president of the church, President Taylor said, you will have to carry that sin yourself. Are you willing to do it, brethren? Do you remember what was said by the prophet Alma? Now, he said, repentance could not come unto men except there were a punishment. Alma 42:16 is what he's citing. Ponder on that for a moment. Have you realized that? There can be no forgiveness without real and total repentance, and there can be no repentance without punishment. This is as eternal as is the soul. So as you can see from what Kimball is saying, that repentance is coupled with a type of punishment. There is a punishment involved. How severe it is depends, of course, on the sin that's involved. So I'm not really sure exactly what Mr. Garner is trying to apply here when he says some, however, see repentance as a punishment they must endure for their sins. It most certainly seems to come with it, according to what Kimball says, but maybe he's just merely saying that repentance is not the same as the punishment. I'm not quite sure. It's not that clear to me. Anyway, tomorrow we're going to continue looking more at what Mr. Garner has to say on what he calls the good news of repentance.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. How would you like to have Mormonism Research Ministry address your church on the subject of Mormonism? MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson have spoken at many Christian churches all over the country. You see, they can tailor their presentation to meet your church's needs. Anything from a one-day basic introduction to a weekend symposium. You'll find these PowerPoint presentations clear, articulate, and presented in a Christ-honoring fashion. So let your pastor know today that you'd like to have MRM speak at your church. Write us at contact@mrm.org.